the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 102 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. We're about halfway through the football season, sad to say. But more importantly, I hope everybody's safe and sound wherever you are, especially out on the East Coast. Hopefully Hurricane Sandy didn't do too much damage to you or anybody you know or hurt anybody. And good to say that it sounds like most of that storm has come and gone. Boy, oh boy, loss of power. You think about it, 21st century, you take for granted the power outages, but you lose it for like 2 or 3 hours even. It's grim. It's how spoiled and luxurious our lifestyle is. Let's talk about that and some actual football here with the man seated to my immediate right from NFL.com and from NFL Fantasy Live. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. Sure. Appreciate you having me on for episode number 102. You talk about power outages. Where I live in Huntington Harbor, there is power outages every week. We go long stretches.
Really?
At least probably about once every 2 weeks.
We'll You're go kidding me.
Long stretches.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That stinks.
I don't know if it's because, you know, it's a man-made harbor type of thing and they didn't really put the infrastructure in, but we have power outages all the time. Nothing, you know, compared to what's going on the East Coast, because obviously that's a force of nature and there's some real problems going on. Ours is a minor annoyance because you know it's coming back on. You see the Edison trucks out there.
Well, I will say this. It's a good thing that global warming / climate change was Al Gore's hoax, because if it was real, boy, that storm could have been bad.
Thankfully, it's a myth.
Yeah, thankfully that. But speaking of power outages, Rank, let's transition into some football talk. Ugh. Arizona Cardinals, I was watching them on Monday night and thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Are you now willing to agree that it's over for these Arizona Cardinals?
Why?
This illusion of
4-0,
I told you that they were not going to stay good. You continued to stand by them. I appreciate your loyalty, but I resent your desire to bury your head in the sand in support of this team. They're
David,
done for.
David.
Yes.
As a guy who grew up knowing nothing but football success, mm-hmm. and you can sit there with your bougie Steelers and every year you guys compete, you don't know what it's like.
You mean my buzzy Steelers in their bumblebee uniforms.
Yeah, very nice. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it's like to root for a bad team. You know what? You don't know what it's like to go out and you have a superstar and you have a guy like Dieter Brock and what it's like to go through a team that's not very good. And now that the Rams no longer exist, I've taken to following the Cardinals and the Chargers. And I'll admit, you know, I'm not a hardcore fan. I'm not living and dying with these teams. I didn't grow up with them. But I do like to follow what the Cardinals are doing, what the Chargers are doing.
Point
I'm not
done
bailing
for.
Out. They're terrible. They're terrible.
The Chargers, ironically,
awful.
When you have a lightning bolt, you would think you would have a potent offense. Anything
New.
But 6 points against the Browns. The Browns.
I went on
Gad.
And I was on NFL AM talking about this is a game the Chargers win because this is there was a perfect North Turner game. The kind of meaningless.
No.
Yeah.
Who picked the Browns before the game, Adam?
Wait, I didn't.
Dave Dameshek.
Oh, well,
Dave
Dameshek.
That
was a bad
Cleveland
pick.
Browns.
Well, that
Why was that?
Pick.
A, yeah, that was a terrible.
You
pick.
Got it. You got it correct, but in the wrong way.
NFL.
Your reasoning
com,
was faulty.
What was my reasoning?
I don't know
that
what
the
it
Browns
was.
Were going to win.
It was wrong. No, it was wrong.
NFL.com/pick'em. You can look at those. I went 11-3 on the week. What did we do with Shek to the Future? Our little
Pretty,
video segment.
We lost the Cowboys. I know.
Yeah, we lost the Cowboys. But who could have foreseen? You know. Well, I guess we did.
We didn't
know for sure that Murray was going to be out. We didn't know about Sean Lee at the time. So that's my excuse there.
And I really hope
those
that
fingers of Dez Bryant, by the way.
But you guys are in the future. How would you not know that?
Don't worry. Sometimes the flux capacitor gets screwy and things get messed up. But for the most part, we've been pretty accurate there. But Dez Bryant's fingers, what's less popular now among Dallas Cowboys fans? Dez Bryant's fingers or Miles Austin's light-sensitive eyes? Tied, maybe. Maybe that's what
oh
it is.
Oh, my gosh. Only Dez Bryant.
Or Romo's decision-making ability, because he made some bad decisions down the stretch there.
He's being forced to make these bad decisions
well,
by
listen,
the players
whose
around
fault
him.
Is it? Whose fault is it on third down in that spot that he throws that deep ball into the end zone.
That was terrible.
They should have tried to get a first down.
That's where you wish your coaching could take over.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I would. You know what, though? If they would, you know, the trade deadline's coming up. If the Cardinals got Tony Romo, I would be fine with that.
Well, baseball season in the books. Obviously, the San Francisco Giants are champions, and I'm cool with that. I'm always cool with when given a choice, let it be a ardent fan base that wins it. Cool stadium, cool uniforms, cool vibe around that team. Not a bunch of overpaid sluggers on that team like the Yankees or perhaps even the Halos. The Giants are seen. They cut an interesting figure as far as I'm concerned. And given the other options out there, I guess I'm all right with them winning it all. Much better than the Cardinals winning it. But Jimmy Leland's Tigers would have been cool too. Anyway. Nah. Point is, that's one thing baseball has and every sport pretty much has over the NFL is not enough trades, enough in-season trades. And I understand the nature of the game makes it harder to integrate a player mid-season and have him be a viable guy for you in the short term at least. But, man, wouldn't it be fun? There's so many names that would be or could be traded. If this were another sport, maybe Mike Vick moves somewhere right now. You know, maybe Tony Romo wouldn't realistically
be traded.
Because the
Cowboys are still in the
I could see the Eagles trying to trade Vic somewhere right now. Where would be a good landing place for him though? If Vic, we're halfway through the season. Some teams are playing for nothing right now. Where would be a good place for him?
Why not
to
the
go?
Jets? Who need a quarterback?
Interesting. Yeah, they like splashy stories.
Arizona would be one.
Yeah,
that would be a nice one. Who's really a quarterback away from competing? I think those are the two ones that jump out immediately. You got Denver's, they're fine. The Giants, blah, blah, yeah.
Yeah.
Kansas City, maybe. Well, the Kansas City.
That's a fun one.
Yeah,
KC. If memory serves, he was actually rumored to maybe go there.
Yeah, Kansas City,
a few years back.
That would make some sense, yeah.
By the way, before we go any further, there's a new shame report out, or at least it will be Tuesday night. We're recording Tuesday midday right now, probably by the time you're listening to this. The shame report will be up and out at NFL.com, among other things. I had to address this Pittsburgh Steelers alternate uniform, the throwback uniform thing. I've gotten a lot of tweets, mostly hateful ones, mostly people upset, demanding that it be the get the brown paper bag of shame for at number one on the shame report, on the as the most embarrassing item of the week. Of course, you saw it. The black and gold. And by the way, in just a second, we're going to get Dwight Freeney of the playoff contending Indianapolis Colts.
Ask him about these uniforms.
I'll ask him about it. I don't mind doing it, but let me give you my opinion. Spoiler alert for the shame report. I got all the information. You know me.
Hold on. I want to skip ahead. I don't want to hear this. I don't want it to be spoiled.
Well, too bad. And Black Tie, I want you to listen. Let me tell you how I felt about those Steelers uniforms. Did I like them? No, I didn't. I loved them. They were terrific. Black Tie.
Great.
I don't expect Rank to like them, but you better like them as a soccer fan, right?
Let's see. What's today? October.
Don't you dare say anything about me being biased or anything else, because those.
No, no. Why would you be biased at all?
I love those.
Good Lord. You don't like the Cardinals' black uniforms, but this is something that's acceptable to you?
They were terrific. I liked the Denver Broncos' brown and gold throwback
uniform monitor.
All right, Rank, let's bring him in right now then.
All
He's
right.
on the line, says Black Tie behind the glass, and it is the great defensive end, probably future Hall of Famer, I think we can say.
Absolutely.
And, a part of those 4-3 Indianapolis Colts. It's Dwight Freeney. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Great.
Well, we're doing well, not as well as you. Who could have seen this one coming? Did you have any sense, Dwight, going into the year? I mean, you know, there was a pretty big exodus, I don't think I have to tell you, of some recognizable Colts vets leaving the thing, and I think the assumption was among most of us that the Colts were going to in store for a down year. How you feeling now that you decided to stick with it?
Well, you know, we're feeling all right now. You know, I'll be honest with you, you know, we're not happy with being 4-3. You know, there's a lot of games in those games that we've lost that we felt like we should have won. You know, and I understand everybody outside the building doesn't really believe in us. Everybody said we're only going to win two games. We'll be the worst team in the NFL. But that's why we don't pay attention to what everybody else says. And we really just focus on, you know, guys inside the locker room and making sure we do what we're supposed to do. So, you know, that's why you play games on Sunday.
Well, have you heard from any of the guys, though, who did leave? I mean, you and Reggie Wayne stick with it, and it was banner stuff that you did. Did you hear from any of the guys like, uh-oh, what did I do? I should have stuck around. Dwight, can I come back?
No, man. We actually haven't heard anything from anybody. But, you know, it's a real close-knit family. You know, regardless of, you know, where they are and you know, playing and whatever, but... You know, we always kind of get back together. So I know at some point they're going to say, you know, you guys are having a good year. You know, keep it going.
Have you considered the fact, has anybody brought up in the locker room that right now, you know, you're 4-3, you're in the playoff hunt, that there may be in January a playoff game against the Denver Broncos and that QB of theirs?
Well, it's a little bit too early for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a long season, man, and we're almost at our halfway point here. And, you know, after the next 10, we will be. But it's way too early to even be speaking about the playoffs. Our focus really, to be honest, has always been that next opponent. And if you take care of business week after week, you know, once it gets closer to the playoffs, you're talking, you know, end of November, actually December, really, then we can actually say, okay, well, this is who we may be matched up with.
I understand all of that, Dwight. It's very admirable. But seriously, there's a little bit where you're like, oh, that would be pretty cool.
I mean, if someone, you know, there was someone brought that question up yesterday, actually. And they said, you know, how would it feel to hit Peyton? I was like, yeah, I'll feel great. I mean, he's, listen, I mean, Peyton obviously is a staple of Indianapolis and this organization for years. I, you know, went after him in practice year in and year out. You know, never got a chance to hit him. So, yeah, I would love to hit the guy.
Yeah, there's no red jersey on this time.
No, exactly. You know, but it's just, you know, we don't really focus, you know, on what's going to happen, you know, 10 games from now. Honestly, we don't. You know, but, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, that'll be strange, you know, but I'll be excited.
Well, by the way, you just mentioned a red jersey, so I got to get back to what we were talking about just before you joined us here. I voted yes, Dwight Freeney, on the Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms the last Sunday. How say you?
Well, I'd rather them not wear those.
Yes, thank you.
I am used to, you know, you can go a little bit old school, but not that old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys wore those blue helmets a couple years ago. Those were no good.
Those looked sharp.
No.
Actually, I like them.
Yes.
All right. Well,
the Colts have, well, see, that's, Dwight's coming from a team that has one of the best uniforms in the league, one of the more classic ones. So, yes, those Steelers uniforms got to go.
All right. Listen. Yeah, but I'm afraid both of you are wrong in this count. But let's press on, and let's talk about some great news that Coach Pagano paid you guys a visit there at the facility. What was that like? What was the vibe around that?
Oh, man, that was, you know, definitely, you know, great things all around, you know. And it was a surprise. I mean, no one was expecting to see him, you know. And he was in his office, and I was going to see the D coordinator, and he taps me and says, hey, you know, take a peek in the coach's office. I mean, the head coach's office. So why? He said, hey, Chuck's in there. So I went over there, and he was there. Sure enough, he was there behind the desk and, you know, excited. You know, I know he couldn't stay away for long. You know, I know he was just excited to get back and just be around the guys, be around the fellas again. You know, I think that's one of the hardest parts for him is just being away, you know, from all of this. And, you know, it's really good for everyone to see him.
How about you personally? I know you have some family out on the East Coast. Everybody doing okay after Sandy rolled through there?
Yeah, everything is going good. You know, our family's in Connecticut, so and in the middle of Connecticut. So we didn't get the flooding. We got a lot of high winds, but everything is all right so far.
Well, that's good news. Glad to hear that. Let's talk about, you know, big sea change, obviously. Peyton Manning moves on. Andrew Luck comes in. Talk about, I guess, the first, what's it been now, 6 months now that you've been around this kid. Obviously, the team's doing well in general. He looks good specifically. Talk about what it's like to be around your whole career around a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame in Peyton Manning and the pressure, obviously, on the guy coming in here to take over for him. All that. Talk about Andy Luck.
Well, I think, Andrew's a great kid, man, you know, and he has the right attitude. You know, he's a humble kid. He's willing to learn. And the biggest thing is, you know, when he does screw up and have a mistake, you know, he doesn't keep his head down. It really shows that, you know, he's a fighter and he's not going to let you guys let us down, man. So, you know, from that standpoint, he's doing great. I honestly don't think he understands how good he's doing for the position that he was in. You know, I don't know how many first round, first picks of the draft, had done as well as he's done so far. Now, so far, yeah, we have, you know, still 8 more games coming up and, you know, the rest of the season, but so far he's doing a good job. And obviously, you know, that's a little bit of a difference between him and Peyton. Peyton, you know, a Hall of Fame guy, you know, and, you know, commanding, you know, the huddle offense, to this, to that, the other, you know, you get used to that, you know, and now you have a new guy back there and, you know, we have to kind of teach him the ropes, teach him what to do, what not to do. And it's okay. You know, and I told him, you know, earlier in the year, I said, don't worry, man. You don't have to put the team on your shoulders. That's not your job. You know, your job is to command the huddle and throw that ball where it's supposed to be thrown and do that. And everyone else will do our job and collectively we'll be fine.
And he's a rookie. You can boss him around, too, which has got to be nice.
Absolutely.
My pal Corolla loves asking people this question, and Rank and I have done a little of this ourselves. What do you think about if you have to go on a road trip? Who do you want to go on a cross-country road trip with? Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck? Who do you want in the shotgun seat? Who's going to play better music? Who's going to have better, play better games for to pass the time and so on?
Well, let's see. I would say, you know what, that's a toss-up. I think from a music perspective, I'm definitely going to say Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, he's younger and he definitely gets that part.
What's he listen to versus and what does Peyton listen to?
Well, you know, Andrew's younger, so you know, you get more current music that you might hear. You know, and we have a younger team, and you know, and I like to kind of, you know, get a little bit of that current music that I'm missing out. So, you know, Andrew there. But Peyton has some stories for you. So, and Peyton will talk. So there's a side of that ride where it's a good thing where, man, you know, Peyton comes out with a story that happened to him in 1994 when he was, you know, in high school or whatever, in college, his freshman year in college or something like that. And you'll get those type of stories. But then, I don't know. I mean, a whole drive across country, you know, hearing a story, I don't know. So you have to kind of cut them off at some point.
When you say current music, though, are you saying, like, so in the Indianapolis locker room, are you guys, like, dancing around to Taylor Swift, like, never, ever gonna be together? Is that how you guys are?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But, Andrew's young. So, you know, all of that music sometimes that you don't get a chance to listen to, you might be a little bit out of touch, you know, from, you know, something I have no idea what's going on with it. You know, Andrew, you know, he's, what is he, 22, something like that? So, he's listening to that current music. So maybe some things that you hadn't really, you know, stayed in touch. I'm a 90s guy, you know. Music, you know, 90s music is my era.
You and me both.
Yeah, can you drop references on him? Because it seems like he's a little too young. So if you're quoting movies like Varsity Blues, would he get those?
Probably not. Probably not.
But if you're driving cross country, who's more likely to make you chip in for gas money? Is it Peyton or Andrew?
Well, more likely, you know, obviously Andrew. But, you know, Peyton's, you know, done well for himself, I would say.
Well, who's more likely to pick up the dinner check at your when you guys make a pit stop?
More likely between us, I would say Peyton again.
All right.
See, Andrew's got some room to grow still. Okay. That's I think that's what Dwight's saying to us.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, Dwight, you were in high school. You played all manner of sport, and the NBA is getting underway here. What do you think about the Pacers? What do you think about the NBA in general here? What's your pick for the finals?
Well, it's going to be an exciting year, I'll tell you that. And, you know, right now I'm going to have to say it's going to be L.A. and Miami. You know, it's just, you know, the firepower that those two teams have put together, you know, on paper so far, it's impressive. I mean, it could be, you know, Oklahoma City also, you know, but I don't know how, you know, they're going to respond from losing in the finals. You know, sometimes teams – you know, take a year, you know, from losing, you know, take a year off and then come back the following year, you know, maybe it's the shock of not winning it. hurts them a lot. So I don't know, but, you know, Lakers are looking strong in Miami, definitely. The Pacers are definitely looking strong. I just don't know if they have enough, you know, to take down Miami in the playoffs. I'm not sure. I would love it to happen, but I don't know.
Boy, I'll tell you what, though. I'm not saying the Pacers will actually do it, but if anybody in the East can do it, it's that Pacers team, because they can really bang that Heat team up front, and the Heat don't have much of an answer for it.
No, absolutely. And the thing is with the Pacers, they are a complete team. You know, it's everybody's contributing, which is the biggest thing. And, you know, I'm definitely, you know, rooting for our guys.
All right, last thing for you. Black tie behind the glasses is yelling in my ear here. Dwight loves cooking. Ask him about what his secret ingredient is. Do you want to tell? I'm guessing Black Tie, he's not going to tell us what his secret ingredient is. I think he knows this
is
being recorded.
Hence the word secret.
Do you want to share it?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Jamaican household. You know, my parents are Jamaican, so, you know, they had me cooking some things, you know, when I was actually went off to college, you know. And, you know, my favorite dish is rice and peas, brown stew chicken. So, you know, that's a whole bunch of different seasonings, a whole bunch of different Jamaican seasonings. And, you know, I have a reputation of putting guys to sleep after they eat my meals, man. You know, have you get the itis immediately. So, you know, one of these days, you know, I'll get that secret up. I don't know.
Terrific. Well, listen, more importantly, come over here to Studio 66 in the off season and cook up some of those vittles for us. I like it spicy, Dwight.
There you go. Well, there you go. I got you.
All right. Terrific. All right. Hey, listen, man, thanks for the time and good luck this weekend against another nice story in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins. Go get them, fella.
All right, man. I appreciate it, man. You guys take care.
You listen to Dave Demichek.
Dwight Freeney. I liked him, even though he
Delightful.
Was wrong about Not the Steelers uniform.
He was right. He was spot on in a number of things.
Well, all right. Let's talk now. Look who's sitting across from us here. He wasn't right about the uniforms, and those blue helmets were not good.
You are now relieved as the uniform monitor.
Who do you think? Excuse me. Black tie. I take the Han Solo edition blaster out of your off your hip and use it. Aim, set. How do you, ready? Aim. Fire! Jerk! You don't play that game.
You're
unseat
done.
Me.
You're done.
Unseat me
it's
for
over.
Dwight Freeney?
Yes.
I don't
done.
Like it.
That'll be
it.
Our new thing is we need to search for a new uniform monitor. Should tweet that out. And
like
say,
how we do. We've got one doing gangbusters work. There's
don't.
No election here.
We don't. I know. You've been removed.
No.
It's been a hostile takeover.
No.
You are now
this
removed.
This is a dictatorship. This
and
is
you've
not
been removed.
A democracy.
You've been removed. Enjoy Panama.
Now listen. Seated across from us, here to bring some calm and reasonable thought to the program, it's our two pals from around the league, the debate club you listen to on our second episode each week, still going very nicely, in my opinion. It's Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler. What's the poop, fellas?
What's up?
Good to see you.
Yeah, pleasure to see you. We mentioned where to begin here. Let's start, I guess, with the Jetropolitans, the mess that continues to go there. Hanzus, last week, if I'm not mistaken, I sensed a little bit of optimism in your voice based on some narrow losses there. You thought that was good. No, well, we almost beat the Texans. We almost beat the Patriots. I think maybe playoffs. You didn't say it, but I heard it in your voice. How say you now?
Well, that's what it is. That's what a Jets fan is about, is that idea, that creeping sense of optimism that you try to keep out, and it always gets in, and then they rip your heart out. Even when you had no business to be invested in the first place, which is what this team is, it's a very middle-of-the-road team. But I entered that Miami game excited to see them play, just I was excited about New England. And I got kicked in the stomach both times. So that's what I get for being a Jets fan. Thanks, Dad.
Quick question. it's really a shame because it's a matter of miles that, and really even the colors that hang in your home. If
you're
in New
also,
York, you could have been a Giants fan. How many times have you thought to yourself, boy, oh boy, I really got the short end of the stick?
I got screwed. I will say that
you're a Yankees fan too, which makes no sense.
That's
that
weird, but you don't usually
Yankees.
See that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my dad was from the Bronx, so that was the Yankees end of it. And then he didn't really connect with the Giants. And then Namath came around and he was kind of the rock star guy. And that's how my dad got into the Jets. So he became that weird Yankee Jet hybrid. And then I came into that world.
Have you ever thought about that? That's interesting you bring up Broadway Joe. I've often thought to myself, I'd like to think that if I was, I don't know, 15 or 20, in 1963. I'd like to think I would have been an AFL guy. But then again, I'm a traditionalist. I'm old school in many ways. I generally fancy as not, sort of like Owen Wilson in Midnight in Paris. You know, I always think, oh, I'd have been much better off if I had lived in Fitzgerald's, you know, in Fitzgerald's day or something like that. And so I think I might have been an NFL guy. Do you guys think you might have? How do you think you might have leaned there, Rank?
I would have gone NFL.
You would have stuck NFL?
Probably.
NFL for me. I agree.
Yeah, you're Browns guy.
Cleveland.
Well, you're and in a way, I admire. I tip my hat to your old man. He was a forward thinking fella then. Hansus.
He was.
It was more exciting to watch. That's
and
it, for sure.
And you know what? I understand as a Yankees fan that I'm spoiled, so it's almost like the Jets kind of make it even in a sense because I get that NFL anguish, and then I get spoiled as a Yankee fan. So it all evens out.
Interesting. Now let's talk to – oh, well, before we do move on, though, I do want to finish with the Jets here real quick. Right. Who would you start if you were the head coach?
I'm starting to change my viewpoint now, and I defended Sanchez entering this year. Rank was all over it, and I think I'm starting to be proven wrong. At this point, Sanchez is not giving them the spark. You might as well see what Tebow can do, but they're afraid of it because they've created a monster here. This whole quarterback situation is bigger than the team, and Ryan knows it. That it just becomes if you thought the circus was in town before. If Ryan stands in front of that podium and says Tebow's our Week 10 starter, the roof blows off that place.
Well, I think, though, it's not a move made out of principle or let's see what he can do kind of thing. They're in the mix, you know. They don't belong in the playoff mix. I don't think if you're being reasonable, I don't think you look at the Jets and say, yeah, they still might wind up in here. I am starting to believe the Steelers have a chance at the playoffs now with two impressive victories in a row. And I wouldn't be stunned to see them even go into the Meadowlands and beat the Giants this weekend, especially given the what's going on with the Giants. Obviously, they're not able to focus on football right now. But I think in general, the way the Steelers are playing, they have a chance to get a road win there. And then you have the Dolphins playing well and the Bengals aren't done for. The Jets are the worst of that lot, it seems to me.
Right.
And the Colts, like we just talked to Dwight Freeney. So there are enough teams there where I don't think the Jets realistically get in. As a matter of fact, I am now turning the corner. I don't think Rex Ryan's back next year. I think he's gone. Do you agree with that, Rank?
That would be a bad move for them. I think Rex Ryan should be coach of the year.
He seems a little deluded.
He gets three wins out of that team. That team's awful. There's no talent on that team. The fact that they've done as well as they've done over his coaching career there, it's somewhat of a minor miracle. That's a bad team.
I think he has a heavy hand in who comes in there, though. I think we learned that from Hard Knocks. It's not like he's just dealt by Tannenbaum and company, the players, and he has to deal with those with who he gets. He's definitely helping along and picking guys.
Well, I tell you, if San Diego had hired him instead of going with North Turner, I think things in the NFL would have been a lot different.
That's damning with faint praise.
The guy that's going in New York
is that Norv Turner. But yeah, I agree with you.
It's got to be Tannenbaum.
Yeah,
how
I agree.
Does he stay?
He'll be on, yeah.
And I mean, we said before the year, though, that you know Dan and I wrote a column about what would be not surprising to us to happen this year. I put Rex on the axe list, too. I don't see him making through the circus because I think that he created...
Why are you staring me down when you say this?
Because
you're
so adamant
about this.
I just think he created so much drama around this team. And in fact, I think I look at that Miami loss. Number one, they were so unphysical. They didn't even show up for that game. After all the talking they did all week. And I think the thing is, it is hard to be a Jets fan, but people don't have sympathy for Jets fans right now. I grew up watching them like you did. I mean, I think Dan has built a lot of character, obviously, by following this team.
I think that's for real. That if you can stick with a crummy team that breaks your heart, not the Cubs. If you have your heart broken by these teams and you can still stand by them, yes,
it's
says
hard
something.
To root for, not Jets fans, but it's not a sympathetic team on any level, and I do put that on Ryan.
My belief is that Ryan is still the face of this franchise, and I don't think he's going anywhere, and I think Woody Johnson genuinely likes him. Mm-hmm. I think the next step is Tannenbaum gets the axe, and Rex loses some of that power that you're referring to. The next guy that comes in, Rex takes a back seat in terms of personnel decisions, and he's put in the charge of just the coaching end of it. If he fails there, then he's in trouble. But I think he might lose some power, but he'll keep his job.
I sincerely believe, and people think I'm kidding about this, I now think if they lose a couple more here and the season's just completely lost, if they get to 4-7, 4-8, something like that, I think that they will, in fact, run Greg McElroy out there. I really think they'll look at him. I think they'll say, what do we have here? Because Sanchez isn't the answer, so let's see if this guy's all right and if our number one priority in the offseason needs to be getting a better QB. All right, Sessler, your team had a nice little victory there. 7-6, a weird score, to
Very
be
weird.
Sure, but you beat those San Diego Chargers. Here's what I was thinking. Shermer is likely gone by all accounts. This is what happens when there's an entire regime change at the top. They bring in their own guys who then bring in their own guys and so on. So Shermer probably, for better or worse, is going to be gone. Here's what I was thinking about. To the point that Rex Ryan maybe is gone. Maybe Andy Reid is gone. Do you think Andy Reid keeps his job? If he loses it, which guy? Do you think Andy Reid, Rex Ryan, maybe John Gruden? Who do you think the Browns go after?
Well, I mean, Banner is a Philadelphia guy. He got along with Reid for a long time. Mm-hmm. We have a bet with editor Justin Hathaway. This was made, about 40 days ago? That if Reid ends up with the Browns next season, because we had a similar conversation, he has to actually grow a Reid mustache. And this is not a guy that we're even convinced can grow a long mustache like that and wear it, I believe, for the duration of the season.
Yeah, I think that was the agreement.
But the it's kind of lining up where there's a lot of kind of long-time coaches maybe about to fall and read. I wouldn't be excited about that as a Browns fan, to be honest.
Let's talk about that.
That's not a good
lay this out. Where are all these coaches? Rank and I were talking about maybe Mike Vick, where he might land. It's fun to think, especially for those of you guys who are rooting for teams that probably aren't going to the playoffs this year now. The thing to do to be optimistic, long-term future. What coach do you think? Where's the musical chair is going to wind up? Norv Turner, if he doesn't turn this thing around fast, he's definitely gone.
Oh, he's gone.
Do you think he'll make it through the season, Rank?
No, he'll make it through the season. They won't make that change. He'll be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Listen, you don't think that, really.
Why not?
You really think they're going to fire Jason Garrett and bring in Norv Turner?
Why not?
Let me ask you this. Do you think – I honestly think if Norv Turner loses this game and they go to 3-5 or at worst 3-6, I think they'll say, hey, we're still in a mediocre AFC. We can get into the playoffs. Let's just make a change here and try and put a spark in this team. I don't think Norv Turner is guaranteed employment through the season.
We have a weekly segment on Around the League blog called The Warming Seat where I break down which coaches and – 1-5, not 6. It's not a pick 6, Adam.
Oh, thank you. So that's where you stop short
1-5.
The tension just lowered in the room.
I call it a select 5, and I count down which coaches' seats are the warmest. And I've had Pat Shermer for the past 3 weeks since we started the series. But Norv Turner, after losing 7-6 to Cleveland, I bumped him all the way up to number 2 with Shermer 1, Turner 2, Ron Rivera 3, Romeo Crennel 4, and Andy Reid to 5. Bumping off Jason Garrett, which is hard to do. So I that's where I think right now with these coaches, all of them are in deep trouble, but I think those guys are the top.
Who do you think takes over in San Diego for Norv? If they don't get into the playoffs, we're all agreed he's gone, obviously. Who takes over there? Who do they take a run at?
John Gruden.
You think Gruden?
This is the job John Gruden's been holding out for all these years.
Why do you say that?
Because it's...
He said that? I mean, he's insinuated something?
The feeling among people in the know around the National Football League believe that John Gruden wants to be the next coach of the San Diego Chargers, and that's why he continues to turn down jobs and extend contracts.
By the way, I have to tip my hat to Sessler and Hanzus and the other fellows over there and around the league because I like reading it when I'm airborne, 30,000 feet in the sky. I read your work. You don't simply report; you actually opine on what the information is. And I say you do it with mirth and you do it well, and I enjoy that. What do you think about this Jazz that Phil Rivers has lost arm strength?
Well, that Michael Silver wrote about that yesterday, and
right.
He talked to some league people that I guess recently feel that's more increased the case than before, but that's not new. I mean, you follow the Chargers, Adam.
Well,
there's something last year that seemed wrong, obviously.
Yeah, I was on a San Diego radio station talking about this last week. And the thing is you look at pitchers with weird throwing motions and mechanics, Dontrell Willis, El Duque, like these guys who have the weird mechanics that their arms break down. And then why is it out of, you know?
That's interesting.
So Philip Rivers has terrible throwing motion. He's got a unique throwing motion. And how does that, you know, that could have just wrecked his shoulder.
That's interesting you bring up baseball, too, because I think there's a corollary there where you have a pitcher that never had a great fastball, and he had, like, the 88-mile-per-hour fastball, and he got by with it. And then maybe it drops down to 85, and that's all it takes to kind of make him drop from being a good player to one that's middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Black ties in our ear to say that we have another guest on the line, a guy who just flew back from across the Atlantic Ocean, not Handsome Hank. We love Handsome Hank, and we look forward to his return to Studio 66. He's promised to bring potato chips or whatever, the crisps is what they call them over there, all flavors, and we're going to have a taste test here, so I'm looking forward to that. But right now, a guy who is actually playing in that game, superstar wide receiver of the New England Patriots, as well as our secretary of music here on the Dave Damashek football program. It's Brandon Lloyd. What's happening, man?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. How was the you made it back safe and sound, huh?
Yeah, we made it back. We flew out early Monday morning.
And was that at all? Were there some nerves before you left the UK flying in? What were the reports like at that time about the hurricane building and all that sort of thing?
Well, we thought we were gonna, you know, there were rumors that we were gonna land in Maine. There were rumors that we'd fly to Connecticut or you know do all kind of different flight patterns, but we ended up just flying right in. I was definitely nervous a little bit about that, but everything went smooth. Whoever was in charge definitely made the right decisions, and I'm sure we were going to be safe. So it was really nothing to be too worried about.
And what's it like in your neck of the woods right now? What's the weather sort of like, and what's it been like over the last 24 or so hours?
Well, it seems like the worst is over out here, but when we went in and when I got up and went into the facility, there were still parts of Foxborough with the power out.
Hmm.
And some of the players don't have power, so guys are congregating at the facility where we know we can, you know, get a workout and some food and do whatever we need to do to prepare for the short week of practice.
Gotcha, and hope you guys are continued to be past the worst of it, and hopefully everybody's doing well over there. Glad you guys made it back safe and sound. But let's talk about the trip to London. And did you guys? It seemed like Coach Belichick got you out there pretty late in the week and sort of marginalized the some teams get out there and spend a week out there. It seemed like he wanted to keep it nice and short. Did you have a chance to have any fun there?
Yeah, we got out a little bit. You know, it's always, you don't get the opportunity to do that very often to go to Europe. So we got a chance to get out and walk and see some of the sights.
Was it one of those things where you woke up early and you're like, I want to see as much as I can?
Not really. You know, the days were pretty much occupied with meetings. We didn't put the pads on and go crazy this week because of the trip. So we had to make that up with walkthroughs and film study. So we were pretty busy with work stuff. It was definitely a business trip, and we needed to be focused and get a win.
Did anybody around the Patriots say, isn't it weird that we, the Patriots, the guys with the three-pointed hat from the Revolutionary War, the Patriots, are playing in England? Did anybody observe that?
No.
It's weird,
well,
right?
Are you going to share?
The Redcoats, you know, in the Revolution, it was the Patriots that defeated England, and then we send the Patriots over there. It's almost like we were taunting merry old England with you guys putting the guy, you know, on the side of your hat. There it is, the flying Elvis. But you wore those uniforms a couple weeks ago with Pat Patriot snapping the ball. You think that would? Well, I guess nobody's still around from the Revolutionary days, save maybe the Queen, but still a little bit of but too soon or no for Brandon Lloyd?
No, I didn't notice anything.
Yeah, I think that rivalry's died now.
You think we're past it?
We're past it. I don't think we're on the same side now.
What'd you think of, did you get a chance to see the Steelers alternate uniforms on Sunday?
Yes, I saw those. I thought those were good.
I liked those too.
Come on.
I liked them too. That's good for you, Brandon Lloyd. Just because they were unique and something that people hadn't seen before doesn't mean that they're bad.
I saw them in a Blind Melon video before.
Oh, stop it. Grow up, Rank, would you please? All right, you're our, like I say, you're our secretary of music here on the show. You've shared with us. It was actually your keen idea to say the music that you listen to in your ears to get ready for a game. Did you go into this international series game with anything special? Did you go Clash or something, you know, maybe old Rolling Stones or The Who or something distinctively British? Or what were you listening to this week?
I didn't do that. You know, I was pretty excited for the Kendrick Lamar album to drop. So, you know, that he dropped the album. He's a hip-hop artist from Compton, and he's working with the legendary hip-hop producer Dr. Dre. And so I was highly anticipating that, downloaded that, and was listening to it pretty much the whole trip, waking up in the morning and playing it. And so I was excited for that one.
Letter grade. What's Brandon Lloyd giving the record?
I'm giving it A+.
A+. Wow, strong stuff.
Gronkowski, what type of music is he listening to when he's out there doing those dances? What do you think is going on there?
I don't know. You know, you have to ask him.
I think they say things. I think there's a phrase for that. They say dances to the beat of his own drum.
Right.
I think that's what you might say about Gronk.
Well, what did you make of his dance? His little tribute, as he said, to the Nutcracker dude.
I like it. You know, I appreciate the showmanship. He's a hell of a football player, and he's a hell of an entertainer. So I think he's whatever he's doing, he can keep it up.
Now let's talk about another sport real quick. It's NBA time getting underway. What's Brandon Lloyd's pick for the NBA? Who do you think is going to make it to the finals? Oh yeah, that's a good question.
You know, I don't have a team. You know, I enjoy watching basketball. And I enjoy supporting the local team. So I'm going to be cheering for the Celtics. I do love the Lakers a lot. So I'm going to be excited to see how those guys are blending in out there and doing.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And speaking of blending, you're blending in quite nicely with Tom Brady, and that offense really took it to another gear. 45 points on the Rams. How are things shaping up now as you look into the second half of the season? What's the sort of the goal now as you, the introductions have been made and the chemistry seems to have been achieved? What are you looking forward to in the second half of the year?
Well, I wouldn't say that the chemistry has been achieved. We're still working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of things we need to iron out as a team in order to play more consistent, and we're committed to doing that. And I think that it's a good time to have our bye week where we can recover and get ready for this final push of the regular season. But taking it a game at a time has been the approach for me all season, and I'm going to continue to do that.
And can we expect right at the end, you want to reveal anything to us? Like, yeah, the Stephen Ridley thing, it was all a distraction. The Stephen Ridley and the running game, it's all a big setup. The second half of the season, it's all Brandon Lloyd, Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker, and the rest through the air. This would be helpful to fantasy owners at the very least, I'm sure.
Right. And that's the least of my concerns.
All right, Brandon Lloyd, very cagey, but good stuff as always, man. Glad, like I say, that you guys are safe and sound back from London. And like I say, stay dry and enjoy the bye week, man.
Awesome, thanks. Day, damn a
shack. There he goes, the Secretary of Music here on the DDFP. All right, let's wrap it up here, fellas. Real quick. Black tie. Time for your shout-out.
Wait, are we going to go through who's going to coach where? I was starting to write it
down. I want to hear it. Yes, let's get back to it.
Real quick.
Let's
see.
Priorities, Rank. Priorities.
Goodness gracious.
Go ahead.
It should be. You know what? It should be a shout-out to the San Diego Chargers PR staff that have to continue to deal with this.
See, now that's a good one. Black tie, if you're not familiar, he likes to do shout-outs to people who are complete strangers, who he feels are worthy of being honored. Go ahead.
That are working tough jobs.
Yeah, I'll tell you who doesn't. I was thinking
they might be listening to the podcast.
There's a new category. I'm going to go the people who don't deserve shout outs. Supermodels. Remember, like 10-15 years ago, like suddenly models were elevated. Certain ones were and elite quarterbacks. And the new one that I keep hearing, celebrity chefs. Celebrity chefs. Anyway, go ahead, Black Tie.
All right, guys. So I actually grew up, as you guys know, I grew up in Nigeria, which is a more or less a British nation. And mm-hmm. So I watch a lot of like European sports, European channels. So this weekend I watched.
That's weird. No one in, if they have a choice, people in Europe don't watch European channels over American channels. Well, everybody knows our TV, if nothing else, our TV is
better. That was the entertainment. It was, you know, we had MTV Europe, we had Sky Sports News, soccer channels, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I was watching Sky Sports News the other day for the first time in years. I don't know if you guys have seen any British broadcasts doing sports like highlights. It's extremely dry. It's imagine
kind of like this.
Yeah. And he scores a goal. And then you see the highlight. And the next play goes. And he scored his third goal of the campaign as they win 2-1. And then they show the play. It's absolutely. It's like watching paint dry. So my shout out goes to actually not them, but the production crew who have to stick around and stay and watch and read the highlights time and time again. It's tough. It must be a tough job to do because it's not.
I don't like the insinuation. Listen, I'm reading between the lines.
I get what he's saying.
A producer who has to listen to something boring
that he doesn't like. Yes, is it by taste? Is that do their highlights have to be like that because it's like taste? Or could an American guy like myself, for instance, go over and revolutionize television in England by being a little bit more just outgoing and maybe a little bit more excitable?
It's just the demeanor, I guess. It's just about being dry and being to the point, not
we
not
should
being
do
too
that.
Excited.
I would like to do that for a year. Send me over. I will do Sky Sports and see if it's some phenomenon that could catch on.
You'd or be
if
the they, body American.
Or else if they would just instantly, which I'm guessing the latter would be the more likely, is the they would just instantly hate me.
All right. So, listen, fellas, Hanzus and Sessler, don't know if you're aware, but we decided to last week. We're playing with the idea.
The coaches.
Oh, go ahead.
San
go
Diego.
Ahead, go
who's
ahead.
Who's going to coach? Who's going to coach the Chargers?
You
next
said Gruden. You I locked Gruden. It in.
I will go with the other Pagano.
Interesting. So we could have three pairs of brothers, assuming Rex keeps his
gig. I like
gig.
It.
All right. What about the Browns next year? Anybody got it?
I do think Reed is a good pick.
I think Andy Reid as well.
Not a good pick, but I think it's a likely pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't like Andy Reid. Why wouldn't you be enthused about that? I think
he'd
be over
tired.
The moon.
The guy seems exhausted.
Maybe he does need a year off, but I think it's Andy Reid.
Real quick for Hanzus, do you think Ken Whisenhunt's in trouble in Arizona?
I think he is fine right now unless the wheels really fall off. They've lost four in a row. If they end up being, 5-11 or something, I would say so, but he should be fine. They know they don't have a quarterback or a line.
They don't have any expectations. Yeah. 4-4, it's one of those things that's weird that like looking at their 4-4 now, you're like, this is awful because, they win that game against Buffalo, blah, 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 things are going. But if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that right now the Cardinals would be 4-4, I'd be like, all right, I'll take that. Right.
Quick programming note. On our next episode, we will address, we will read our favorite tweets that we got for A.J. Hawk to pass along to Aaron Rodgers. Nicknames for A-Rod. We have to come up with a new nickname for Aaron Rodgers. He's the best player, best quarterback, and maybe even the best player in the game. He deserves a much better nickname than the weird association with the weird third base slash shortstop slash bench warmer on the New York Yankees. Got a lot of great ones, so get those in now. With did we have a hashtag or just email? Email me at Damage or tweet me at Damashek or at Adam Rank.
Did you just say email me in today's world? Like, what is that about?
Oh, it's so square email. Not like fax. People still email Black Tie. People still actually use email.
Contact
me on my Hotmail. Like,
if you don't Skype me, bro, I don't even listen. I'm on Foursquare.
I can't believe email's out.
Pinterest me,
I know,
bro.
That's a bummer. Wow. I'm in a lot of trouble.
No. I love hearing
how do we communicate?
I love hearing Band and Lloyd school you guys on hip hop. It's always great seeing the look
school
on your
faces. Me
now. Yes. Listen,
and having no idea
thing,
what he's talking
I was,
about.
I was acting like it was third period French, and I wasn't paying attention.
The other thing we must do is I've heard from our pal out in Pittsburgh, PA, BackpagePress.com, who has some very handsome T-shirts, the Czech Republic, and for the Rank Amateurs. Now his new project that he wants to do. He wants to do something for the Dave Damashek football program. We need ideas on that. Send your ideas on that. I've got a few ideas. We'll get into that on the next one. We'll make our picks. We'll see what other Hooey and Applesauce comes up. Real quick, though, the thing that we kind of started, and I'm open to alternatives, but what we started last week is that we are going to name, after going through our first 100 shows, we named the player who wore it best, that number. Now let's do the worst or most reviled, and or most reviled. We're at number two. Worst number two ever. Lay it on me. Sessler.
Tim Couch.
That's going to be a hard
that's
one to
the
beat.
Winner right
that's
there.
A good one. Jeter wears two, right?
Yes.
I'm
Jeter?
Not saying he's hated. And
yeah, that's
even,
a good one.
Even his enemies
Jeter,
out of
yeah.
them kind of like him.
No,
come on.
Not really.
What?
No. No, this one's easy. Tommy Lasorda. Boom. Done.
I think Couch is our winner there.
What?
All right. Make sure you check out the power rankings
of
Elliot Harrison.
Yeah. NFL.com/AdamRank. That's where you can find my alternative rankings. Wait, that's what we're promoting, right?
Well, I was promoting Elliot's, our colleagues, his power rankings.
Yeah. Why would you promote something from the guy on the show?
Oof.
Well, we already did right. that. We've already. Oh, he's walking.
He's
that's
walking.
It.
He's out. Walking.
He's out. There goes Rank. He dropped the headphones and he's gone. He made his list of coaches and where they're going to be. He's had enough. Sessler is, you can track him down, at Mark Sessler. It's spelled with a C. And he finishes it, Mark Sessler, NFL. That's why we call him Mr. Fancy Pants. A regular Joe, Dan Hanzus. That's how you get him. What's Boom. My name? No fancy nonsense. Just the name.
Three syllables.
Dan Hanzus. I did you one better, Hanzus. I just go Damashek.
That's
I don't even. I should have just gone Dave. You know, I could have just gone Dave.
This is the hierarchy.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So listen. Good times. Thanks to Freeney and Brandon Lloyd and the ATL boys. Make sure you look for the Around the League posts there, coming fast and furious every day. And once again, hope everybody on the East Coast is safe and dry. We'll talk to you later in the week with episode number 103. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.